Greetings, salutations. How you doing? Welcome to the show. 7-Eleven here on a Friday morning. You made it. The weekend is here with Sports Radio TSN 1200. This, by the way, is not the weekend. You turn the clocks forward. That's next weekend. All right. One will be later, but it's going to be a chilly weekend. Colder temperatures. Next week promises well above normal. Like, we're talking Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday between 8 and 10 degrees. But we got a ways to get there before we get to that because cold, well, like minus 25 right now with the wind chill. So it's a chilly start to your Friday. It's going to be a cold weekend. As we said, no warmer temperatures on the way next week. So the Sens fall 7-3 in Calgary last night. Much more on the game. All the post-game stuff, everything coming up. And by the way, the Flames fired their coach, as you heard in the update. And Daryl Sutter is back once again to coach the Flames, as he did back in the early 2000s. So we'll get into all the hockey stuff in terms of the games. But the breaking hockey story of the morning this morning is, you know what? It's I think we'll all be honest with ourselves. We sort of had thought at some point we're going to wake up to the news that that this was going to happen. But Walter Gretzky passed away last night at the age of 82. Wayne Gretzky announced that on his Instagram, put out a very, very just a beautiful piece on his dad. Canada's hockey dad, I think he's well known known as, right? At the age of 82, Walter Gretzky had dealt with Parkinson's the last several days, of course, years. Had a stroke, what, about 30 years ago, I think, or thereabouts.
And had an aneurysm in 91.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, I think that was all part of the same thing. And really, I mean, he lost great parts of his memory and kind of came back. And, I mean, you, in your time with the Leafs, right, you ran into some Walter Gretzky from time to time?
Yeah, no, he was around all the time. Now, I wasn't in Toronto all the time, JR, but one Western trip to Western Canada, he came with the team. And again, I knew about, of course I knew about Gretzky, but I was in the U.S. for a long time. I didn't really kind of comprehend the popularity, and going on a trip where Pat Quinn is the coach, to Matt Sundin, to lots of other people, it was incredible when we traveled around that. First, he was just a rock star, and it was also just really cool, his energy and people and everything else. But I was like, wow, it was just fun to sit back and watch and see how much he loved people and how much people loved him.
Yeah, it was like he was, well, depending on your age, he was either like your dad or like your grandfather.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what Walter Gretzky was. Yeah. You know, if you had, you know, either met him in passing or got to know him, or just you knew him through Wayne talking about him and seeing interviews or with him or whatever, he just seemed like, and I think it's appropriate, being referred to as Canada's hockey dad. So here is Wayne Gretzky talking about the influence of his father.
There's no relationship like father-son. My dad was a blue-collar man that worked 8 to 5 every day, that never missed a day of work. Everything he made, he put into his kids and his family. He's just a special man, and he happens to be my father. I told him I get all the accolades and all the glory, but really, truly, he deserves it, not me.
When you think about the most famous address in all of Canada, it's probably 24 Sussex. Mm-hmm. Close second is 42 Variety Drive in Brantford. If you're a hockey fan, you know the address of the Gretzkys. Because the neat thing was that you could, when Walter was living at the house, Walter and Phyllis, when she was alive, you could knock on the door and Walter and Phyllis would invite you in, and you could go down to the trophy room, which was the entire basement filled with all the memories of Wayne Gretzky. Mark is on the phone. We're going to get to him because, Mark, you grew up in Brantford, is that right? And you've got some memories of Walter Gretzky?
Yeah, I do. So I was born and raised there, and ended up going to, I was at the same church as Walter at St. Mark's Anglican Church. And I've got a few stories. I don't want to bore you with all of them. I remember one time I was raking leaves at the church, you know, just doing tidy up there in the fall. And Walter just happened to be coming by for whatever reason, so he went into the shed there and grabbed a rake and started raking along with me. And I was a teenager, right? And I thought, wow, this is so cool. But one story, so my dad was a high school teacher in Cambridge, actually. He would drive from Brantford, and there was some kind of a sports day in his class. He taught in a spec ed class for students with developmental disabilities, and he asked Walter if Walter could come in and speak to his class. And unfortunately, Walter wasn't able to do it. But he said, "Listen, why don't you come over and I'll give you some memorabilia, some stuff that you can bring in and show your students." So he invited my dad in to, you know, his famous basement there on Variety, and my dad went in and picked out some stuff, one of the, you know, mini replica Stanley Cups, and And there's a picture of me when I was probably 7 or 8 years old with one of Wayne's Campbell Conference all-star jerseys on, right, that my dad had brought home. And really cool, my sister next to me holding holding one of Wayne's sticks. And just so down to earth. Walter was everywhere. I worked as a lifeguard at the Wayne Gretzky Sports Center, and I was working at a day camp one day, and Walter, you know, he was around the rink all the time, and he just came into the room with the kids and just started hanging out with them, right? and everyone knows who he is, right? And he's signing autographs for the kids, and you know, he was everywhere. And you talked about Variety there, where Walter lived. My grandparents actually lived on Kensington Avenue, which was parallel street to that, and so their backyards were connected, right? They're, you know, just the through the backyard.
Yeah.
And one day I was there, I was at my grandparents' house, and my grandpa calls me over to the back window, and he says, "Look out back there." What? And he says, "Look." And there's a hand coming through the fence picking the raspberries off of my grandpa's raspberry bush, and it's Walter. He's like, "Oh, he does that all the time."
Oh my God! So your grandparents' place backed onto the infamous backyard of Walter Gretzky, which of course came to be known as the Wally Coliseum. Where Wayne Gretzky, of course, right? He put in the backyard rink, and we've seen all those amazing home videos of Wayne Gretzky when he was like 3 years old, skating around cones and whatever.
Yeah, a lot of the skating he did was at the farm, which was just outside of Brantford, at his grandparents' farm. And I was just reading this morning that they bought it for like $600 in like the 1930s. This farm, and he skated there. So when I was going to my grandparents' house, at that point, there was a pool in the backyard, so there was not a lot of room because Wayne had put that in. And apparently, the story goes, Wayne had offered, I guess, to buy, to build a house for Walter and Phyllis just outside of the city, and Walter said no. He didn't want to move. He liked his place. I guess it's so down to earth, right?
Yeah.
And they ended up, you know, building a nice pool in the backyard for when the grandkids came to visit and all that. And so that's the thing about being in Brantford is you saw, like, nobody in Brantford has ever pumped gas without seeing Walter, right? Like, he's just, he's always around, and he's so down to earth. And I remember, too, I went to the same church as Walter, St. Mark's Anglican Church, and every once in a while, we'd go in, and at the back of, you know, the hall there, there'd be like 100 or 200 like calendars of Wayne Gretzky, right? And, you know, Walter would just bring them in and have the kids go and grab them. Or remember one time there were all these water bottles, right? That, you know, because they get all this extra stuff, extra merchandise, and he would just bring it in and say, "Yo, go grab some stuff." And
right.
And then I was probably when I was 17 or so was the first time that I went to church on Sunday morning. I'm like, "Man, who's that tall guy with the leather jacket sitting next to Walter?" And of course it was Wayne.
Wow.
It was often when he was in town. And I made a fool of myself when I actually met Wayne there at the church, because I went over to him like, "Hey, do I know you from somewhere?" you know, I was 17. I thought it was pretty funny. Right?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Pretty witty kid, right? Like, yeah. And he's just like, "Oh, I don't know." And I'm like, "Oh, man."
Yeah.
I just embarrassed myself in front of the great one.
But good stuff. Anyway. Good stuff. Listen, appreciate you calling, Mark. That's a great story.
Yeah, no worries. Take care, guys.
Have a great day. All right, that's pretty neat.
Your
grandparents' place backed onto the infamous Wally Coliseum at 42 Variety.
Yeah, and they were telling stories. Gord Miller had one about him using a sprinkler system, and the sprinklers would always break. He was the only person at the hardware store, JR, buying a sprinkler in the winter. And Dave Poulin had a great story from the 87 Canada Cup. He was rooming with the G-Man. Of course, Pooley ended up getting cut later, but they ended up having, I believe, Tikhonov, Fetisov, Larionov, and Makarov over to his house in Brantford for a barbecue.
Oh, really?
And it was really a big deal, Pooley was saying, is that Walter wanted to bring each of the players downstairs. They weren't allowed to have a beer. They were supposed to stay outside, and he would bring them down, give them a beer, and show them all the stuff, the great collection. And are we going back, because I'm going to lose track of time, is it the summertime that the people were charged with stealing some of the memorabilia from him?
Yeah.
Like, what a, not that it wasn't a bad look then, but that kind of popped to mind this morning, too, thinking, man, that's sad.
Yeah, I only crossed paths with Walter Gretzky once, but it certainly was memorable because it was at Wayne Gretzky's last game in Canada, infamous last game here in Ottawa in 1999. I had the good fortune of being at the game, and Walter and Janet, and then the kids were really young at that stage. We're in a suite.
Okay.
And at the end of the one of the periods, I'm walking up the stairs to go to the concourse or whatever, and he pops out of the door in the suite at the same time, and I ran into him. And I shook his hand, and I just said, I can't remember what I said or whatever, but we had a conversation of about 20 seconds before about a million other people wanted to talk to him. But just such a, as Mark said and as everybody says, I mean, you've never run into a person who has ever said that Walter Gretzky had a bad day ever, right? Just the world's nicest guy.
Yeah, and you also look at it, hey, the greatest player in my estimation ever, maybe the greatest person. I mean, the way he was brought up, the respect that he showed to Gordie Howe, all of that. And he was in Eugene Melnick's box in 2015, JR, and I went over and said hi to him. And I think he honestly thought I was the other Sean Simpson that played for the Ottawa 67s.
Oh, the one that could stick handle inside
exactly,
a telephone
booth. And he would have been close to Wayne's age, and is from Southern Ontario. But we went over and I had a conversation. He went into the whole detail about how Wayne ended up in the Sioux, and then he crossed into some conversation about Peter Pocklington. It was just really cool. The recall of his memory or whatever that part of it was ended up being a pretty engaging conversation.
Sean Simpson could play tic-tac-toe. How's your mama with the puck? Sean Simpson could get her done.
That's right.
Good old Sherry Bassin.
Yeah, exactly.
And to make that even stranger, I actually played for Sherry. Maybe that's a good thing, JR. You've created no memory, lasting memory. When I played in Oshawa. He's a general manager. Paul Terry is a coach. You know that's a lasting effect when he doesn't know that it's actually me, the fine goaltender that played for him.
Savvy tweets at us, says, my uncle from Prince Edward Island randomly dropped in on Walter, who he did not know, in Brantford, and was invited in and spent most of the day in the basement. Such a giving man. That comes from Savvy.
So, and so that was common. I didn't know the address either, JR. I've never heard that. As I said, I from 1990 till, 2010, 30 years in the United States, I just didn't recall. I knew the Brantford part of it, but no, that's really neat to hear.
Yeah, I went to school in Hamilton. I grew up near London, so whenever I would, the path home is Highway 403, which kind of bisects right through the middle of Brantford. So I've driven that a million times or whatever. And there's Mark just talked about the Walter, that he was lifeguarding at the Wayne Gretzky Community Center or whatever. Right on the highway there. Everything is, as you can imagine, is Wayne Gretzky, right? All the big signs, Brantford, welcome to this, the town, the home of Wayne Gretzky, everything like that. But 42 Variety is a very, very famous address in this country. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I'm not sure. Of course, Walter, as mentioned, has been in ill health, whether one or some of the kids still live in the house. But what would become of that house, right, when you think about it?
Yeah.
Very famous address. That basement is just filled with incredible mementos that I'm sure that Wayne and maybe his brothers and sisters will share over time, but many of which may end up going in. There's a ton already in the hockey hall, right?
Yeah,
but how many more things are just in Walter Gretzky's basement?
Yeah, you would almost think, JR, and assume the family. I don't know if a museum in the sense of people going in and out of it, but as you said, kind of a Canadian landmark. And as far as timing, I can't even imagine from Gretzky's side all the stuff he might have. Also remember there's Keith and Brent, and there's other people that are part of the family. But they had just recently, this past year, shut down the restaurant, right? That would have just been piled up with Wayne Gretzky memorabilia, right? So I must have a warehouse for all the different trophies and all the different things. So as I said, an iconic Canadian landmark. And it'd be kind of cool if they turned into a bit of a museum.
Yeah. So sad news. Walter Gretzky passed away last night at the age of 82. Tell you what, let's take a break. 7:25. We want to share your thoughts. If you ever ran into Walter Gretzky at any point, over the years, or ran into Wayne, for that matter, who talked about his dad. Love to hear from you. Either on the phones at 750-1200. You can text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN 1200. Canada's, if you've ever had kids involved in hockey, there's the infamous minor hockey dad, end board dad, always complaining dad. My kid, if you just put my kid on the other line, he'd be in the NHL. Dad, that dad, Walter Gretzky was the opposite of that. But your memories of Walter Gretzky, certainly welcome on this morning. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Sens game last night as they fall 7-3 in Calgary. The victory by the Flames, not enough to save the job of their coach. Jeff Ward was fired after the game, and Daryl Sutter's been hired. So we'll get into all of that as we continue along here. And more of your wrenches on a Wrench Throwing Friday on Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
We're back, 7:32 on this Friday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer, Pierre McGuire standing by, will join us after 8. We'll talk more about the Sens-Flames game coming up in just a second. A couple of texts have come in on the passing of Walter Gretzky. Unsigned writes, I ran into Walter about 7 years ago with my buddies at City Hall here in Ottawa and spent over half an hour just talking to us and telling stories. And from Cork, hey boys, years ago, my now late uncle was golfing in Florida and ended up getting put into a group with Walter Gretzky. He knew who he was, but wasn't really going to say anything unless it came up. They shared a cart, and on the first hole, Walter says, do you have any kids? And my uncle says, yeah, two boys. My youngest played hockey in Germany for a bunch of years and still coaches there now. Walter says, oh, that's nice. My boys used to play. They don't play anymore. Laugh out loud. He was a great guy, and man, that was the only time hockey ever came up during the entire round. That comes from Cork.
Yeah, and I think that museum one from, well, it was 2015. He was in town, JR. He was a guest of Eugene Melnick, and I think it was Military Appreciation Night, and he had on the green jersey, so that was exciting. And as far as the family, it was also interesting for me playing junior hockey against Keith Gretzky, and he was actually a very good junior hockey player, JR, on the smallish side, and he was playing for the Windsor CompuWare Spitfires back in the day. But you talk about pressure on somebody that really for no reason, right? Like walking around with that handle on the back of your jersey, never could meet the expectations. But as I said, at the same time, Keith was a real nice junior player.
Yeah, absolutely. The best of the other brothers probably was Brent,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But I think Brent ended up with or had a, I believe, a club foot, right, which made the skating the
yeah,
hard part of it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Jungle, of course, had some great stories of Walter Gretzky over the years as well. All right, we'll talk more about that. And again, share your memories if you have any of running into Walter Gretzky, because it sounds like he was everywhere, not just in Brantford, at 12-1200. 7:34, let's take it back to the Sens game and really the seventh and final Flames goal last night. Kind of exemplifies the night.
In the corner, Shabbat gives away the puck. Here's a chance in front. Scores! Left all alone in front. Derek Ryan had nothing to do but spend some time lean on his stick and flip it over to Cord, who was left all alone.
Yeah, it was. You know what last night was? Last night was hearkening back to early season Ottawa Senators, where it looked like they had no idea what they were doing in their own end of the ice. The goaltending was never bailed them out, was subpar to begin with. So I know a lot of people are hating on Matt Murray this morning. It was not a good performance. There's, you know, three goals on five shots. It's three goals on five shots. There's no looking past that. But the defensemen themselves, forwards with turnovers. Stützle had a bad one on one of the goals. I mean, it was bad from front to back.
Yeah, it really was, and that is a part of it for sure. There's certain nights, and you'll say schedule, and there's no doubt there's a bit of a science where you use that term, you don't have your legs, but similar to the game here last Saturday, JR, where you knew Calgary's going to come out, they're going to play well. You need some saves from your goaltender, and at the money that Matt Murray is making, the pedigree he has, and at 26 years old, yeah, man, oh man, this has been a roller coaster that we had not been on here in Ottawa since before Craig Anderson came to town, which is 10 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's DJ Smith on his team's tough night last night.
We weren't very good. We had, you know, looked to me that we had no legs. Certainly at the start and right on through, we just looked like we were skating uphill. And, you know, we maybe found it for a few minutes here and there, but, you know, as a whole, we just didn't have much tonight.
At one point, DJ Smith pointed out they had played this. That was their seventh game in the last 11 nights.
Yeah.
But then said that's no excuse, although by mentioning it kind of in a roundabout way is a bit of a, I think he threw time travel, or not time travel, but travel across the country as well. But listen, everybody's kind of going through that. All the teams playing in this division have a run where you play a pile of games, and Ottawa's in. There's no doubt about it. They've now played 26 games this year, which is the second most in the league. Only Vancouver has played more, and they played 27. And don't forget, Ottawa started playing right 2 days later than most of the rest of the team. So they have jammed a lot of games in a short period of time. But last night was a clunker, a stinker. You just hope it isn't a harbinger of what's to come, because that was like early season Sens.
Yeah. And again, whatever. I'm not even going to go on the lineup stuff. I would look at it and try to put a little more mobility on the back end versus a Coburn. But hey, coach is making the decisions. I'll also say within the industry itself, JR, and I don't think anything's going to happen in Ottawa as far as general manager and coach, I'm assuming. But I don't care who you are. When you start to see the Allen, you know, Claude Julien's, and all of a sudden Mr. Ward after a win last night, it can rattle your cage a little bit. You know, it can make you kind of look around and realize, man, oh man, I got to keep coming here every day, and you don't want to go back into the embarrassment zone. That's to me the biggest mandate for Ottawa the rest of the way is, hey, continue along, get another high pick, continue to play the kids, but don't go into games like last night where, yeah, you're right back to that feeling of it's just mass chaos.
Robbie and CP writes, I turned the game off after one last night. It looked like the boys had some fight in them, but that was all. Murray didn't even look like he wanted to be there. We have to find a viable starter for the next 9 months because the goalies we have are getting neck burn right now. Cheers. That comes from Robbie.
You know what, Robbie? You've had
some red light rash in your day, eh?
You know what? I was smart enough to get out fairly quickly, JR. I retired at 23 years old, so I'm actually good to go. Oh, my God. My first year of junior hockey, I couldn't believe it, JR. 15-48-3 were the Sioux Greyhounds. After not losing a home game the year before, I was beyond stinky. I remember going to the first exhibition game against Sudbury. We were playing in some mountain arena or something, and I remember, I'm like, these people are vicious. Then I got to meet my home fans. That was the most perplexing part for me, JR, was there was a group of guys in the second period that would just give it to me all the time, and I'm like, man, I thought we were supposed to be at home here. This is no fun. And as far as Ottawa, I think Pierre Dorion has some cards to play, and you have some different things you're going to do, but would you agree when it comes to the starting goaltender for the next 3.5 years, he has made his bed?
Well, he's not getting rid of that contract. That's, that's to be sure.
If Decord emerges and becomes a starter, I guess that's okay, but when you allocate $4 million this year, 6, 7, and 8 for the next 3 years here, you have pretty much made him your starting goaltender. So that's not, as you say, not going anywhere. Maybe Decord emerges and passes him, but that's a lot of money to have in a backup goaltender.
Yeah, I'm not, and it sounds folly to say it this morning of all mornings after a terrible performance by Matt Murray, I'm not completely closing the door on Matt Murray and saying it's El Stinko, El Grande, and that's the way it is, and it's not going to. I mean, I see games like Monday, and I go, okay, there's a good goalie in there. There's zero consistency to his game right now. You don't know from one game to the next, one period to the next, 1 minute to the next, what you're getting. And that's the most frustrating part if you're watching, is that, you know, you see Monday and you go, oh, why can't you get more of Monday and less of Thursday? Why is it that way? And that's been the story all year. I'm not trying to excuse what he's done. But I guess if we're saying, well, this year is the year of where everybody gets a bit of a pass, and it's kind of, it's not all about winning, it's about development. For them bringing in, for them deciding to go and bringing in and paying a lot of money to a starting goalie, it was not as much, not so much all about this year, but it was about this is going to be the guy as the team starts to emerge. Eventually, you hope he will emerge and get his game back as well. So, I guess I'll just be the glass half full optimistic guy that thinks that maybe still Matt Murray's got some racetrack ahead of him to try to find his game.
Yeah, no, and again, I wouldn't disagree with that part of it. Now, am I, based on everything I'm kind of seeing and feeling, nervous? For sure. But in May, turns 27 years old, has won a couple of Stanley Cups. It's a change in COVID, new team, new family, everything that's kind of going on. So, no, I don't disagree with you. I mean, hey, Craig Anderson went from Florida to Colorado to Ottawa and was, 28 or 29 years old before he found a home. So, no, for sure on that. But I guess to the point, it's something that has to be solved. Like, you have to, and I'll say for next year or whenever that is, you've got to get on a clearer and more consistent path because it's just not going to match up with what could end up being a real nice player group.
Good morning, guys. I understand the frustration with Murray, but honestly, he gets a bit of a pass from me. Our decor is atrocious, the worst in the league by a country mile. How many legit NHL defensemen do we have right now? One in Chabot, maybe two. Can't win consistently until that changes. Cheers. That comes from Diego. And we had this discussion in the first hour Shabbat and even Shabbat has, I mean, that clip we played of the goal, right? It starts with Dean saying Shabbat gives it away. Yeah. And we've been saying that far too much this year. Shabbat is still a work in progress in his own end. But he's a very, very good NHL player who the hope is he will only get better and will become a star player. Artem Zub has been, I think, for the most part, a very pleasant surprise. I think he will be a part of the team going forward. But after that, it's a lot of, Diego's absolutely right. Yeah. It is a lot of questions. So, and this is the thing, you project ahead to next year, and Coburn's a UFA. Okay, Gudbranson is a UFA. Riley is a UFA. They've got Josh Brown signed for another year, but so far he hasn't proven that he can play at this level.
Yeah.
Brännström is still unproven, work in progress, whatever you want to say. Willanen appears to be in the coach's doghouse and may never emerge. Like it is, there is huge questions going forward. And, you know, talking to, going on social media last night, talking about, well, JBD comes out.
Yeah.
Jacob Bernard Docker. Yeah. Well, I think you hope that he can be an NHL player next year.
Yeah.
But the reality is he probably, if we're going down the proper development road, he should probably at least start next year unless he's, it could be proven wrong.
Yeah.
You know, he should probably start next year in the minors.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just half a season. Maybe it's a full season, but we're talking proper development of all players.
Yeah.
Jacob Bernard Docker is not a player that you can count on for next season on your defense.
Yeah, I would never go down count on. But when I look at the program there, JR, and the fact that he's a bit older where his physical strength is, I think there's a chance, but a chance doesn't mean, and there's teams, look at Bo and Byram.
But you can't put it in pencil.
No, I know. Right? I know. And
you can't build a defense on hope.
No.
You can't put him in and go, okay, we've got three players taken care of now.
Yeah.
Like if he doesn't turn out, and so you don't fill that spot, in the off season when you have a chance with trades or signings or whatever, then you're behind the eight ball because everybody signed at that point.
Yeah, and it really again goes back to just like putting together a pitching staff in baseball. You got to start getting some slotting. Like forget about how many bodies. Like realistically, and I would say this right now, and it may maybe Zub and Shabbat end up being fine, but if you said to me going into next year, what do I have right now? I got one for Shabbat, which he's in that spot because I think the upside's so great. I'll put Zub in the four spot. Could end up being his partner. Either way, we're talking about you're missing two top four defensemen. If I'm to slot where everyone should play properly, I would probably have Branstrom and Zaitsev as a third pairing. So I got the five and six. Well, I don't think they're growing on trees right now. All you need is two top four defensemen to try to start to solidify. And like I said, the issue you're running into right now, by the time you put Zub and Shabbat together, well, who, Zub stabilizes everyone he plays with. You don't have anybody else like that. So they're in, as you say, a real spot here where I think philosophically back to kind of some of the DeMello conversation, some of the other things here, you just quite simply don't have it slotted properly. And this is 10 years where Ottawa, when you look at their defense, hey, that great pairing of Mathot and Carlson was fine, but everything else behind it and coming through the system, they've had a real difficult time for whatever reason. They've produced so many good forwards. There have not been a lot of defensemen, JR, that have come through the system and been that good.
Dougie Hamilton is an unrestricted free agent at the end of this season. We'll see if he and Carolina come to a deal, but the guy in Carolina is said to be pretty cheap. They've got lots of defensemen. They may just let, serve out this season, try to win this year, and he may get to free agency, and he is the bell of the ball.
Yeah.
If you look down the list, I mean, if Dougie Hamilton is an $8 to $8.5 million player on a long-term contract, if he's willing to sign anywhere, if you're Ottawa, would you sign him?
Oh, I would for sure. As I said, because I want to at some point try to stabilize this. I've got to come up with something here, try to build a couple of pairings. So, no, I would be very interested. Now, realistically, can you do that?
We have museums.
Yeah, no, I know.
Lots of museums. Which apparently he likes.
Yeah, and then, hey, for a guy that seems to have taken a lot of crap from the teams that he's been on, he's gone to Carolina. Also has overcome just a horrific injury from last year. So, no, if you're Ottawa, I would look at stuff like that. And as I said, now I'll have to go behind the scenes here and start looking at what the financial forecast is for some of my young forwards and how does that slot in. But, no, you're going to have to at some point here, whether it be via trade or via free agency, in my estimation, you're going to have to come up with a top four defenseman that can help stabilize things. Because, as I said, you just don't have that right now. And that's always been my issue with Zaitsev. When you get a veteran player like that, and even the allocation of his funds, JR, he's such a sporadic player that when he's on the ice and if you don't have him with a good partner, he can't stabilize anybody and it just turns into mass chaos. And he tries. I mean, there's no issue with the effort, but that's what his game is predicated on. And the more pressure he's under, unfortunately, the more he struggles.
Mm-hmm. I'm just Dougie Hamilton, and again, that was the story in Calgary, right? Where his teammates like to go to the bars, he wanted to go to the museums.
Yeah.
I'm just, if you think about it, recruitment, he comes to town with his agent or whatever. I'm thinking about, it's summer, right? You're at the National Gallery, beautiful spot in that atrium.
Yeah.
Then you take that nice walk right across the bridge, the railway bridge.
Yeah,
beautiful. You maybe stop halfway. You're looking down the Ottawa River. You're seeing, a couple of those boat cruises going, happy.
Yeah.
You know, you keep going. Then you're on the Quebec side. You stop at that little corner, Dépanneur, right there. You pick up a couple of pops.
Oh, maybe a 2-4.
Yeah.
Chilled 2-4.
Exactly. And then you're over to the Museum of History.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
with the beautiful architecture. Then you're looking back at the back of Parliament Hill. I mean, who's not signing on the dotted line? Forget about, he's going, I don't need your cash.
Yeah.
I love your museums. Where do I sign?
And you get them a pass? Because you have
yes,
to,
exactly.
Yeah,
like the museum
not,
pass.
It's not in the United States. And
love
also,
it.
You got to plant a lot of people to pretend they know, because I have no idea really what Dougie Hamilton looks like. So got to have a lot of people.
Got a bit of a cheesy mustache.
Okay, maybe a few people walking around with Dougie Hamilton, limited edition, Boston Bruins jerseys.
Love it.
And also, we're going to also do that. I don't know if we'll do a helicopter ride, but we're going to do a 21-gun salute over at the War Museum as well, just to welcome.
Nice. Hey? Nice. Hey? Beautiful. I love it. Hammer, maybe you can look up, see what a museum pass would be, like one of those a seasonal, like where you get to go anytime you want and you don't have to pay.
Yeah.
Okay?
What?
And we'll throw that into the deal.
Is this to find out if Dougie can afford it or if
no, the... just it's a hey, listen, this is what you get when you come to Ottawa. It's, you know, you're millions of dollars a year. You don't need that. Here's your museum pass.
Yeah. And we're going to have Jimbo Watson giving it to him, right?
Exactly.
Welcome to the city.
And over the mint, maybe you see how money is made because you're getting a lot of it. Who wouldn't want to see that printed?
And then you also tell them, listen, don't even think about Kanata. Before you know it, probably second year of your deal, you're going to be playing at LeBreton Flats. Like, you flat out lie to them. Like, don't even.
And when you're at LeBreton Flats, what are you doing before you go to the game? You're over at the War Museum like Hammer was earlier this week. And you're getting to sit in Hitler's car. Okay, they're pulling back the old rope there because you're not allowed to go. Special occasion. Right, you're sitting right there in Hitler's, and you're getting in one of those tanks. You're going right inside, right in one of those tanks.
I'm going to bypass the Hitler car because of bad luck. But the tank part, I like. Okay.
All right, so I got a deal here that this could be the tipping point of the Agricultural Museum.
That's a good one. That's solid.
Aviation and Space Museum.
Oh, love it. Yeah.
The new science and tech right there.
Yeah, get like a hand on the ball that makes your hair go up.
Yeah. Do we know if he's got a family or not, or is he a solo guy?
Not sure about that.
Okay, well, I'm going to go duo.
Yep.
All right, 1 year, only 95 bucks here, Dougie.
What?
95
a
bucks.
A family?
No, that's a duo.
Okay.
A family is 125.
You know what?
That's fantastic.
I'll throw in the 30 bucks.
Yeah.
I'll throw in the extra 30. Now, is that only those four museums?
Those three museums.
Where's our all the museums in Ottawa pass?
Do
we not have one of those?
I don't think they cooperate all together like that.
What? Do we have like museum on museum violence going on right now?
No, there's definitely some turf wars going on.
Wow.
There's definitely some
turf. There's competition.
Exactly.
I have no idea.
But with those three, I think that's your best bet with those three museums.
Yeah. And you know what? You know what else we'll throw in because it's closed now for 10 years? We'll get you inside the Parliament buildings where they're doing the retrofit that is supposed to last forever or 10 years, whichever comes first.
Yeah. Sneak them in there with the hard hat?
Exactly. Take a look at what they're doing in there.
A tour of the Mint and the fact that he's worked and lived in the United States, probably a tour of the U.S. Embassy as well, guys.
Nice. Hey? Nice.
Then we're going up to the Andes and we're going to go up to the bar up there for the nice view of the city.
You're stomping grounds.
Hey, he's just going to look around and just realize. And
July
gonna...
2nd, deal is done.
Yeah.
Or whatever the
Ethan Bunker. How about a little tour out west there, too?
Ethan Bunker.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's open anymore.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
really?
I don't want to take him out to the West End. Hammer, that might scare him off. So we want to keep him downtown.
West is best.
We want to keep him downtown.
West is best.
Is it the Carpel that you're worried about him seeing?
You get to the Andes and you just say, listen, this has already been planned. We're going to start the boat cruise just like Tampa did. You're going to be the captain. That's the other thing we're going to do. We're going to make Dougie captain. You're going to be the captain, and we're going to have the boat cruise. And we're going to go through the rapids with the cup. Do you think that's cool? Hey, we're going
to
do it whitewater. Whitewater rafting with the cup.
And Dougie's going to throw it to Brady on the other boat through the rapids on the kayak.
Love it. Build your own Inukshuk right in the, right when you take that, when you go across the Champlain. You see all those Inukshuks that are built in the, that people walk out in the river.
Heck yeah.
Build your own Inukshuk as well. That's your own signature right there. Like it's endless.
Oh,
this really, the recruitment of Doug Hamilton has begun.
Yeah.
And by the way, we're changing his name because he is 28 years old and no 28 year old can be named Dougie.
No.
Okay. We
Dougie
need
Dougie Gilmore.
No.
He still gets Dougie.
That's true.
No,
that's a great point, actually.
You are, you know, that's the one, it's the only thing that I insist upon.
I think Macromella called him Dougie on Wednesday.
Doesn't matter. That's Macromella. Okay. I'm just insisting on one thing, okay? If you're signing here, you're no longer Dougie.
He's Hammy.
Okay? Hey?
He's Hammy.
Hammy?
Hey? All right, Keith the Wrench is coming on this Wrench Throwing Friday. Sean writes a huge wrench to our Prime Minister just because. That comes from Sean.
Water out of plastic, away from plastic towards like drink box water bottles sort of things.
And one more from Schwabi in the pothole. Good morning, boys. Can we please get a wrench to Pierre Dorion for signing Matt and not Anne Murray? That comes from Schwabi in the pothole.
Today is probably one of the proudest days that I've ever had as a general manager in the NHL.
I'm trying to think what Anne Murray would look like in the old twine tent right now. Right, just stand there, stand up, goaler, maybe singing a little bit. Songbird sings the song.
Oh,
she
man,
sings.
I had her greatest hits going on the weekend. Yeah. Got one of the records there, thanks to the person that donated it and took me right back. I was my mom's go-to in the 1980s.
Like if she's warbling out some tunes while she's in the net, is that not distracting to a shooter coming in?
Yeah, could
right
be.
There.
What,
like
wasn't she on the Sens bandwagon in 2017?
Absolutely.
Hey?
Yeah. Well, in any Canadian team, she's okay. Canada's songbird.
Yeah. Yeah.
From Spring Hill, Nova Scotia.
Nice.
So there we go. I like that idea.
Do you know her address?
I don't, but I know Walter Gretzky's.
Okay.
All right, 753. Keep the text coming at 12-1200. More your wrenches on this wrench-throwing Friday. You can also tweet at us at TSN 1200. We'll talk about all the hockey stuff with Pierre McGuire when he joins us after 8. Sens fall 7-3 in Calgary. As mentioned, the breaking news from the Flames, they fired their coach after the game last night despite the win, and Daryl Sutter is the new coach in Calgary. The old sheriff is back in town, and you know the way that Daryl Sutter likes his hockey.
We gotta be triceps, biceps, arceps,
hard.
So that makes Sunday's game between the Flames and the Sens, which is Daryl Sutter. Like, would Daryl Sutter be the godfather of DJ Smith when it comes to the way they like to play their hockey, Simmer? Absolutely, JR. He would.
I'm wondering if that's Sean Monahan at the end of that clip, too, with the second, hard. Yeah. There you go, guys, hard.
No, you're right, though, and kind of the mentality there and what that brought. I thought that ship had sailed, JR. It's just interesting, and I think for the Calgary players in particular, a guy like Monahan, this is exactly right. This is going to take people outside of their comfort zone, and, I'm sure DJ Smith looks at him as a bit of a hero.
All right. So again, so that's the next game for the Sens is Sunday night against the Flames, and coming off of last night when there wasn't a whole lot of good for Ottawa, we're going to put a trophy on the line for Sunday night. Sunday night's game is the
We got to be triceps, biceps, arceps,
hard.
Cup. That's what's up for grabs on Sunday at 9:30, Sens and Flames. We'll take a break and back with much more here on this Friday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.